Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
He can be so dominant. He can take over the game, and what he can do with the puck and with the size he's got, it's just so impressive to watch, and it's fun to watch up close. He had a big part in this one tonight.
And now here comes back in the other direction. Eichel enters the line. Scores! Oh, brother! You have just seen the last edition of Sick Mix, Jack Eichel.
What he did tonight is not surprising for me, because I've been watching it now since the 13th of September, and Jack is just one of the very elite players in the league. His game isn't even near complete. Just really excited to be coaching a player with that skill set, and going to work hard to try to help him get better.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I knew they were going to win last night, just so you know.
You did?
When they went on the power play, and they went into overtime.
On the power play?
Uh-huh. In my head, I heard what you just played. I could hear whoever was going to score. I could hear Rick Jenrett in my head saying, the Sabres win it in overtime. I heard that in my head. I'm telling you, I knew they were going to win.
Good.
You know what? But it's here's the other thing. Every time they go on the power play, I feel like they're going to score a goal.
Yeah.
That number one power play should be really, really deadly.
I like their chances because overtime's not 5-on-5.
Yeah.
They're not too good at 5-on-5 right now.
No, they really weren't. You let me know what the numbers were last night. They didn't seem good.
No.
Bailed out by the
They weren't great on 5-on-5 against Columbus, but, you know, whatever.
I think their best 5-on-5 line is probably the Larson line, and they don't finish. But in terms of generating chances and possession, I wonder if it's those guys.
It might be. Numbers. Might be.
And Eichel. Wow.
He's pretty good.
Wow.
He's pretty good.
I mean, he was, you know, when he's on, when he's flying like that, I mean, it's just amazing to watch.
It's must-see TV.
And his two goals last night were just beautiful in different ways. It is, when he's on his game, and he said after the game he wasn't happy the way he played in Columbus. Of course, you know, he gave up the puck on the game-winning goal. But yeah, when he is flying and dealing and shooting, he had 8 shots on goal last night. He is looking to score. He is fantastic to watch when he's on the top of his game.
It's one of the reasons that I just eventually, this you would think, he'll get to the playoffs. They'll get to the playoffs eventually, mm-hmm. someday.
Maybe people start talking about him
a little
bit more.
Well, just to see, I mean, granted, the level of play goes up for everybody when you get mm-hmm. to the playoffs. You play better teams, and everybody's trying really hard. But just to see him engaged, would he look like that every night in the playoffs? Maybe not, because it would be tougher.
Yeah,
but
you'd see that on a regular basis.
It would
basis.
Be every single night, every single game would be, you know, that little extra motivation. If last night was because he didn't like his game in Columbus, well then, you know, if every once in a while you want to have a bad game and the team gets out with a point and then you come back and dominate, hey, it works. They are, I think they're leading the league in goals.
Okay, we're playing a game called Things You Didn't Expect to Say About the Sabres.
I mean, yeah, and the power play, it came into the game 7 of 11, or at one point...
6 of 10, it was at 60%.
And then they scored right away.
And they scored to go 7 of 11.
Right.
And then they gave up the shorthanded goal, and then I think they scored again on the power play, and then the last goal was just after the power play expired.
Well, I mean, okay.
Hey.
Fun.
It is. And look, the
send Montreal fans home unhappy, win in overtime, score 5 goals.
Yeah. That's 12 goals in 2 home games.
Yeah. There were lead changes. I mean, that's.
And they came back and won. I mean, I thought, you know, again, you know, whatever, small sample size. They had a bad game in Columbus. The next game, they came back and won. And I thought Ralph Kruger said it well in the postgame show. There was a comeback, or there was a bounce back within the bounce back. So they bounce back from Columbus and they get 2 points. They beat a team that we're talking about, you know, if you're going to try and make the playoffs this year, this is one of the teams you need to beat out. And so they bounced back off a bad game in Columbus the other night and then bounced back from blowing a 2-goal third period lead. You know, was it Skinner? Right? Skinner scores like early in the third period and you're thinking, okay, this baby's over. I was thinking they're gonna cruise. This is gonna be fun. And then Montreal comes right back less than a minute later, and they score. They eventually tie it on a breakdown, and the Sabres found a way to win the game. Granted, you know, the penalty late gave them the opportunity, but that's good. They bounce back from a bad game, and they bounce back after blowing a 2-goal lead. That's a good sign. And yes, they can score goals on a night when they give up 4. They have the ability to get 5.
Yeah, we're back to the Dan Bylsma years had a little bit of, they score on the power play, but they don't really score 5-on-5.
Yeah.
That was a thing for them. And I'm thinking about the lines. Would you keep them as is?
I would take Sobotka off. I would keep the first line where it is for now.
I like
Skinner with Johansson. He's doing fine.
Do I need Olofsson on the first line?
I don't have to have him there. I feel like I can put a number of different guys on the first line, and they will produce with Eichel and Reinhart.
I agree. Olofsson can no doubt score. He's got all power play goals.
Right.
No 5-on-5 goals. Right. And if his presence on my top line is going to hurt my top line at 5-on-5 because he's just not ready for that 5-on-5 top line role,
right?
Then I might be ready to put Jeff Skinner back there.
Yeah.
And slot Olofsson somewhere else, where maybe they play a little simpler or they play lighter competition because, you know, Jack Eichel gets the toughest competition every night. So I might want Olofsson back down, and I might want Skinner up with Reinhart and Eichel. I know they're trying to get multiple scoring lines, and I still might get that because Marcus Johansson has turned into a really nice addition.
Is it Johansson or Johansson?
It's a great question.
Can we use both?
Doesn't Rob say Yo and Marty say Joe?
Okay.
Yeah, we had this conversation last night.
I like Yo better personally. So, well, anyway, go ahead. I
might think about it because yeah. Olofsson, you know, we're talking about the top line not being their best line at 5-on-5 in terms of high danger chances. I should look into that. I might be wrong. I might just feel like they're not getting a lot of chances. But when Skinner and Eichel were out there, they were one of the best combos in the league, and I understand splitting them up in the interest of balancing the lineup.
You're getting a second line that you look at and go, wow, these guys really
and
produce.
They scored again last night.
Skinner's got 3 goals, although I think at least one of them is on the
power play. Yeah.
Johansson, whatever his name, Marcus has, 3 goals now, and he's producing points. So I like it there for what it's worth, the power play. So the Sabres do have 18 goals scored. That does lead the league. That's so cool. 8 of them are on the power play.
So 10 goals in 5 games at even strength.
At even strength, because they don't have a shorty yet this season, right?
Yeah.
And there's no empty netter, I don't believe. So 10 5-on-5 goals. Yeah, they have to play. There were times last night, 5-on-5, where Montreal was just dominating them.
Yeah, there were. It was the third period more than anything. The Sabres had the edge in 5-on-5 early. Montreal, I'm looking at the chart as it just kind of swings back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they've been okay, but they've not been great. They've not been terrible.
Well, they're not getting – well, Sherry had the 2 goals open. Here's your lines in a nutshell. Olofsson has been scoring, but on the power play. You're right. I do like Skinner, Johansson. I'd like Sobotka off that line and put an offensive presence there. I don't know who at this point because, quite honestly, Sherry has 2 goals opening night. Outside of that, the Middlestat line has done nothing. I didn't even notice them last night. VC has not really done anything in the first 4 games of his Sabres career. And the Larson line is good at offensive zone work, at the grinding. They're generating chances and shots. I don't know how many times that line is actually going to finish this season, but they're doing good work in the offensive zone. Unless you think Oposo could bounce up to one of those lines, I'm not sure what Kruger does. I'd stick with Skinner for now where he is. You know, Olofsson last night, I think he got benched in the third period because he wasn't out there on the power play in overtime. And a couple shifts late in the third period, they put Skinner out there. I think Vesey was out there on the Eichel line. I think Olofsson for sure on that first Montreal goal, you know, I know they're on the power play and he's not a defenseman. You got to be aware of what's going on around you. And I think the 4th Montreal goal, they didn't like his effort in the defensive zone either. So we'll see what Kruger does in the next game. I mean, maybe he moves Olofsson because he didn't like his defensive zone work last night. And that might settle the question on its own.
Vladimir Sobotka had more minutes than Olofsson.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, because Olofsson got kind of put on the bench.
And Sobotka's on the penalty kill, so he's going to get special times minutes.
Do you know who led the team in ice time?
Yeah, Ristolainen.
Do you know what the number was?
25 minutes.
25.
It's on my notes to bring up. Like, what happened to managing Ristolainen's minutes? Why is he getting 25 minutes?
25.
He's not supposed to be playing 25 minutes.
Right.
And granted, I think they believe their number one pairing is McCabe and Ristolainen. and he's also on penalty kill, but that's not managing his minutes.
There's a funny thing that's happening with their defense right now because...
And granted, Dahlin was shaky last night. He had
sure,
a couple rough plays.
A little bit shaky. He's definitely, though, their best defenseman.
Uh-huh.
And I think Colin Miller is their second best defenseman.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, Yoki Haro's
showing some real positive signs.
He and Scandella have played well.
Mm-hmm.
If you like the fancy stats, they had a great night last night. They were the Sabres' number one pair last night for that.
Good.
So you've got...
They had a rough night in Columbus, so it's good that they bounced back.
So you finally have a defense corps that has your number one pick. Dahlin and Miller are really worth playing a lot. And Yoki Haro and... Scandella have put in really good minutes for you and are getting good results. Now you finally have a defense group that doesn't require you to play Rasmus Ristolainen for 25 minutes, and he's playing 25 minutes.
I don't know. It's very strange. Yeah. And I mean, you know, Ristolainen, one of the plays last night we'll all focus on is his.
Yeah.
You know, I will tell you this. I don't know. You're not supposed to shoot it up the middle of the ice. But going back and watching it on replay in defense of Ristolainen, which I know was not going to go over well, you'd want him to play that puck around the boards. He had both ends cut off. There was a mantra. He was basically surrounded by three Canadians, and one was on the one side on the end boards, and the other one was on the other side. Actually, the referee was in his path. You know, if he wanted to go to his left around the boards, he couldn't. There was a referee there, and there's a Canadiens player there. If he wanted to reverse it the other way around the boards, there was another Canadiens player there, and there was another guy below the goal line on him, too. So he was kind of surrounded, but the idea of turning and putting it up the middle of the ice is just a terrible idea. Eat the puck. I don't care what you do. You're not supposed to turn around and fire it up the middle of the ice. But anyway, Ristolainen should not be getting 25 minutes a game. No, they need to chop that down by, what, 4 or 5 minutes?
Or seven.
Okay. But, I mean, that's just too high.
Yeah.
He's going to, with that kind of workload, somewhere along the way, he's going to mess up.
Sure. I mean, guys make mistakes. I'm not trying to pick on him or his game. And
hey, Dahlin, that turnover led to the shorthanded goal was terrible. And he made another bad decision later in the game where he went right into traffic and turned it over and led to a chance for Montreal.
I wonder about that shorthanded goal if the coach wasn't upset with Olofsson on the play.
Well, you got to be better in your own. You've got to do something
in
your own zone.
He totally lost his guy.
Look around. I mean, you're not a defenseman, but you're a forward who plays in your D zone anyway. You've got to look around for a guy.
Right, but you're a first-year player on the power play in the NHL, on the top power play unit, and you lose a guy there. So, that's Dahlin's turnover, but I wondered about Olofsson. Boy, Joel Armia, I tweeted about it. I hope he played the power ball. Everything that could go right for him went right.
He almost had a hat trick.
He had two goals. And his assist that went right out in front to Kotkaniemi.
Yeah, is that the one that bounced in front?
Yeah.
Yeah, he chipped it. He got a piece of it behind the net and it came out in front. Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Everything went right for him. Chris tweets in, are they showcasing Aristotle? I think that auto-corrected Ristolainen.
Aristotle.
So, yes, Chris. I mean, that's possible.
Yeah.
Showcasing, you don't need
to showcase him.
Maybe what they're doing is leaning, like, let's go ahead and lean on him as much as we can right now to see if he can handle this new system, to see if he flourishes in this new system, to see if he's different than he's been in years past. Yeah. So we can make our final decision as to whether or not we take that trade offer that, you know, Winnipeg has on the table or whatever it might be.
I'd like Montour to get healthy.
Yeah.
I think that would solidify the group even more because, Dahlin is the number one defenseman. There are still going to be times where I think he tries to do too much offensively in terms of carrying the puck. And on the giveaway that led to the shorthanded goal, I think he was trying to drop it back, I believe. I forget who the trailer was. There was somebody back in the Sabre zone, and as he got up into the neutral zone, he saw traffic coming. I think he tried to drop it back, and he whiffed. And then he basically got shoved right off the puck. But I think there are times where Dahlin wants to be the puck carrier, wants to be aggressive, wants to take it up ice, and this is the Josh Allen. You'll live with interceptions every now and then if there are more good plays than bad. I'll live with Dahlin. It's the discussion of giving him a green light because he's that talented. But at times, he's going to overdo it, and he's going to get himself into traffic and turn the puck over.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened last night. One time it burned him. Later in the game, it led to a great scoring chance, but Montreal didn't convert, thankfully.
Their cross-ice passing has been very good.
Yeah.
The goals they're scoring nice goals, too. The game winner from Johansson. That's a play from Colin Miller. All of a sudden, he is very good and should be very popular with anybody that likes the team. Then the Olofsson goal, man, highlight reel plays.
Yeah.
Well, Dallin Eichel-Olofsson and his release, Eichel's pass there, the Eichel rush end-to-end, the guy that dumps at the blue line that goes 1-on-3. Like,
I don't even know who he beat. It was Domi, mate? I forget who he beat, but it was one of those where he just flew by the guy at their own blue. You're like, whoa!
Yeah.
And then 1-on-3 inside a triangle, and these guys are just backing up.
Yep.
They're so afraid of Eichel that they don't want to step up on him, and he says, all right, fine. I'll shoot it.
Yeah.
His first goal, pinpoint. I mean, he just wired that shot.
Yeah, watching
using
the
Canadiens player as a screen, I think.
Yep. The first goal, you know, he shoots from there a lot, and he can go to either side. He can go to the far side or he can go short side, and has done that plenty, has scored a lot. And the television camera angle, if you go back and watch it again, you can almost see it happening in real time, how he's looking. He's waiting for Kincaid to open that side, and as soon as he does, it's off the post and in.
That's a beautiful
he's
shot.
He's opening up, waiting for him to open that side because he's trying to see around the screen a little bit.
Yeah.
And bing, right in.
That's why, I mean, the power play. I know every time we talk about the power play, I always hear Lindy Ruff in my head. Because when he was on with us years ago and he'd come on every Tuesday morning, whenever we'd bring up the power play, whether you know, if it was in a downs a stretch where it wasn't really scoring much, and he was always get exasperated, like, guys, the power play is cyclical. You're going to have your hot stretches with the power play. You're going to have your cold stretches. It's hard to imagine those five guys, the number one unit, going cold on the power play. In part because of the addition of Olofsson. And his shot, his accuracy, he's got a quick release. He's got a really strong shot. He can pinpoint his shots as he did last night. And what's he got? 4 goals and they're all on the power play so far this season. I think, you know, teams will focus on Eichel on the one side. You've got to start worrying about Olofsson on the other. You know, you'd think teams have to be honest and have to be able to take Olofsson out of the mix as well. But if you do that, you still have Reinhardt in front, you still have Skinner in the high slot, and you still have Dahlin quarterbacking it at the point. So it's the number one power play is just, I said, every time they step on the ice, I'm going to expect a goal, which of course is not going to happen. But there are just too many weapons on there. You know, like, who do you gravitate to? Who do you try and make sure doesn't beat you on that power play? You take away Jack, great. Then he will pass it to somebody else, and you got to worry about the other guys putting the puck in the net. And on the power play, yeah, I think Rob Reyes pointed this out. They've done a really good job of quick passes and trying to, you know, get the box moving side to side. They love that pass right through the heart of the box. We've already seen that a few times this season on the power play, whether it's Eichel or Olofsson or whoever on the half wall. They love making that pass for a one-timer right through the middle of the PK box, and they've been very effective at that. So I've been very happy with their decision-making, their puck movement. They're getting quality shots. I forget who. Maybe it was Eichel after the game last night. One of them mentioned puck retrieval. When there's loose pucks on the power play, they've been really good at jumping on them and maintaining possession in the offensive zone. So, yeah, there's a lot to be excited about the number one power play.
Montreal, though, still strikes me as a team that's the team you're battling with. They look They look good enough to me. They looked fast. Montreal looked very fast.
I was thinking last night, when was the last time we thought the Canadiens had a slow team? Like they're always fast.
Yeah.
And they're deep. They've got good, you know, Domi had a quiet night last night, but Domi, Drouin, Gallagher, I mean, they've, you know, even Tatar, I mean, they've got some really, and Joel Armia, they've got some really good options, and it didn't hurt that, you know, Keith Kincaid played last night, and they saved Carey Price for their home opener later this week.
They haven't been home yet, huh?
No, they played 3 games to open the season on the road. Toronto, Carolina, and here last night. I think they played Detroit at home maybe tomorrow.
That's a tough start.
Yeah, it is. And opposition, too. Toronto, Carolina on the road is not a fun start.
A lot of Montreal fans there last night, as expected. Mm-hmm. You know, you get that.
Right? That's probably the number two behind Toronto, right?
In terms of the
fans of the opposing team.
If there are a lot of Florida fans there tomorrow,
we'd be surprised. is this the Nashville version of hockey? Like, we're all going to Buffalo for our trip this year. No, but, you know, and the other thing is, as I said, it you know, nobody's going to get carried away with 4 games. But they got a point in every game. And, you know, they didn't play a great game last night, but they still managed to put 5 goals on the board. And even though they blew a lead at the end of the night, they walk away with 2 points. And that's a good sign. And, you know, they're getting contributions from throughout the lineup. A lot of guys are getting involved in the offense. And Johansson has certainly given you another scorer on this team.
They definitely have. They needed him last year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's really a good, not just goal scoring, but passing and zone entries and again a weapon on special teams. You know, you've got a good number two center, assuming he stays there.
Yeah, not just last year, the year before and the year before and the Johansson's a nice player.
Yeah.
So good. Welcome to the team. 2-year contract, right? Reasonable money. Good.
Yep.
You know, one last thing. Or not last thing, it's only for a segment, but Oposo through three games led the team in fancy stat, expected goals.
Okay.
He's getting in position to score. He's just not finishing.
Right.
And maybe he gets 10 goals this year as a fourth liner.
He had a couple chances late in the third period. But after they blew the lead, I thought Montreal kind of carried play. And then in the last few minutes, prior to the penalty at the end of regulation, the Sabres picked things up a little bit. And I think the line that really did that was the Larson, Oposo, Gergensen's line. I think Oposo, maybe even on one shift, had a couple of good chances to try and get that go-ahead goal late in the third period. I'm very happy with how they've looked. The problem, again, with them is I don't know how many goals you're going to get out of them. You'll get effort. You'll get hard work. You'll get forecheck. You'll get all that stuff. It's a reliable defensive line. But for all the work they're going to do that's positive and the shots and the 5-on-5 and all that, I'm not sure how many goals you're going to get out of that line. But I like the way they're playing. Right now, it's not a problem because they're getting scoring from two lines and they have a very potent power play because the middle stat line really has, I think, a couple Sherry goals, and I'm not sure that they produce much since opening night.
This Scandella-Yoki Haru pairing.
Had a good night?
Yeah.
Good.
It is a funny thing that at five on five, you know, Scandella came into this season as a guy that was what? Get him out of here. Mm-hmm.
Sure. I think he would have been behind Sobotka for maybe number two on the list. Or no, Risto would have been in there. He was in the top three.
He didn't have a whole lot of defenders.
Uh-huh.
And so far on the season, you know, we had Paul on yesterday. Paul mentioned it. Even the fancy stats say
he's good.
Scandella's
good.
Doing well
good.
With Yoki Haru. Those two last night were their number one and two. If of course, he's not everything, but it's one way to do it. They were the top two players at even strength. And we're sitting here saying that, you know, at 5-on-5, they've got their problems. You know, VZ, not great.
Right.
Colin Miller and Darlene didn't have a great night with respect to that. You've got Yoki Haru and Scandella, four games in, looking like a nice pair.
Good. Well, you know, again, there were two big stories among the many stories going into the season. Could they score more? The answer so far is yes. I mean, they have 12 goals in two home games. It's not shabby. And what were they going to be in their own end? Now, play in their own end is not just defensemen. I know that. It's forwards as well. But they tried to find defensemen that were good in their own end, but also good at the first pass, moving the puck up. Yoki Haru hits that category as well. Less so Scandella. But they've solidified their game on the back end, which is nice to see. And this is without Montour. You know, Montour's going to come back and he's going to get top minutes, right, on defense. And we'll see. Maybe, you know, when Pilot's healthy, I don't know if he stays in Rochester or comes back here. So they've got a couple guys who you'd think would have been in, one for sure, the other guy probably in your top six that aren't even here right now. And they've played better in their own end. I thought Hutton, you know, he only faced 28 shots. He had some key saves last night. He made a big stop, I think, on maybe Drouin in the third period. So, you know, when push came to shove, it wasn't like Ullmark stood on his head in Columbus, but Hutton made some key saves last night, enough, you know, to keep the game where it was and give the Sabres a chance to win the game in overtime. So I like that, too. By the way, you know, you're learning about a new coach and what he likes to do. Ullmark played so well, and he comes back with Hutton. Usually, like, coaches go, oh, hot hand, let me just bring Ullmark back, but he went with Hutton last night.
Hutton hasn't lost yet.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 3-0, right? The three, yeah, Pittsburgh, Columbus, and Montreal last night. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550.
Confirmed. The Sabres lead the league in goals.
Yeah, 18.
18 in four games.
Mm-hmm. But again, almost half are on the power play. So I don't know how. I should probably see, like, what percentage was the top power play last year in the league? Would have been in
usually
the 20s?
Usually 25%, okay. Right? Isn't that normally what leads the league?
I think. I would say, like, in the low to mid-20s?
Yeah. I'll find it.
I'll look that up. So 7 out of 8 points for the Sabres. They get a point in their first four games, at least a point, for the first time in 10 years. And we will talk about it on the show. Did you? No, you're not this Jeremy. I guess this is a different Jeremy because you're right across the table from me. You guys have to talk about why Sobotka's on the second line.
I don't know.
Get it. If they had somebody else to go with 53 and 90, They could be a 1B type of line. Yeah, I'm all for getting an offensive player there. I guess I would wonder who. Are you moving up Poso? Are you going to put Sherry there when he comes back on the right side? Maybe that's the move. But, yeah, I don't know. I think we're all for that. The question is, who goes into that spot and what are you doing there? Because you would like to have more offensive production from the right winger with Johansson and Skinner at this point.
Power play numbers, I got them for you. 20% is where the halfway mark is.
Okay.
15 teams were 20% or higher.
Okay.
25%, it's three teams that got up there. Tampa, Florida, Boston were over 25%.
Okay.
So 28 led the league last year, Tampa.
Wow, that's really good. So and the Sabres are
60.
Yeah, it came down a little bit, but they were at 60 going in. Maybe they're a little bit below that now. 803-0550 to join us. Sabre fans, 3-0-1 start for the Hockey Club Florida. Coming into town tomorrow night, we will talk about all of this with you this morning. As is always the case, we always tell you if there's something else you want to talk about that we're not discussing, that's fine too. You can join us at 803-0550 or 888-552-550. Paul Hamilton was at the game last night. He'll join us at 8 o'clock this morning. We'll get a little national perspective on the first week of the NHL season. Adam Kimmelman will join us from NHL.com at 9 o'clock. And it's Thursday. That means Fantasy Football Talk with Scott Pianowski from Yahoo Sports. That's at 9:30. All headed your way this morning on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You always want to try and pick up points when you can. At the same time, realizing that there's things that are going to happen. There's going to breakdowns that are going to happen, and you're going to have to work through those things. Just keep communicating through them and make sure you're working hard and competing and sort of trying to make up for those, I think. And then you got to have guys make big plays at big times, I think. And you see it there with Hudson made some huge saves for us, and obviously the big goal at the end there.
Jeff Skinner scored his third goal of the season last night. Also, it's a good thing he scored. He had a glorious chance, I think, late second period, off a set play. Eichel won a face-off. Skinner went to the net. Eichel set him up. Skinner had like three-quarters of the net wide open, and he shot it basically into Keith Kincaid. But he came back, scored his third goal, gave the Sabres a two-goal lead in the third. They blew that. They won it in overtime, 5-4 over the Canadiens last night. The game-winning goal from Marcus Johansson just after a power play expired. Jack Eichel had a four-point night last night. Two goals, two assists. He had eight shots on goal last night. Other goals came from, we heard about Skinner. And Victor Olofsson got his fourth goal of the season, all on the power play. They had a stat last night. Olofsson is just the fourth player in NHL history whose first six career goals were all on the power play. Sabres are 3-0-1, and they'll host Florida tomorrow night. Flyers beat New Jersey, so you didn't need the rage room, I guess. 4-0 was the final. The Penguins placed Alex Galchenyuk on IR. The Pittsburgh is really banged up this season already. Josh Rosen named the starter for the rest of the season for the Dolphins. Vontaze Burfict, the suspension of him, was upheld. Giants, Pats tonight. Skip it. The Giants will not have Saquon Barkley or Sterling Shepard or Evan Engram. Not a problem. Top running back, top wide receiver, top tight end against the Patriots. And their defense? Piece of cake. Washington, go to bed. Dodgers are leading 3-0. Wake up. Washington's in the NLCS. Howie Kendrick with a grand slam in the 10th inning. The Nats beat the Dodgers. The Braves game was over before they got to the plate in Atlanta yesterday.
What an amazing scene.
I didn't even see it. I got on Twitter, and people are talking about how they feel bad for Braves fans, and I thought, okay, so it must be a big lead.
Yeah.
And then I go 10 runs in the top of the first.
What do you do? Do you just go home?
I was going to ask you that question. That's funny. So anyway, the Cardinals won. They play Washington in the NLCS. Tampa plays Houston tonight. The winner faces the Yankees and Syracuse football fans. They have a Thursday night game tonight at NC State at 8 o'clock. I was wondering about that. I think it was a 5:07 start. So let's say you can't get out of your job on time. You're in Atlanta. You got tickets to the game. You can't get out of work till 5 o'clock. and you're thinking, ah, you know what, I'll just miss the first inning. I'll get to the game late, and I'll miss the first inning. And before you get to the park, it's 10-0. Did you turn around and go home?
Yes. I mean, if you haven't gone in the game yet.
But you bought the ticket, paid for. Like, but it's 10-0. I can't even imagine. Like, what do you do?
It's tough.
I can't even fathom a 10-run top of the first and the buzzkill of knowing like the game is over. Your guys didn't even get a chance to bat, and you're down 10 runs.
Yeah, you go to the bar instead.
Okay,
stadium bar. Just we don't need our seats. We'll just go to the bar.
Man,
might be busy though.
Yeah. So anyway, ironic that Bryce Harper leaves Washington and they finally win a playoff series. So they go and play the Cardinals in the NLCS.
And those are your headlines.
Oh, yeah. And a Dr. Jersey question for you. So they show Josh Allen at the game last night.
I love this question.
Okay. Do you think you know where I'm going here?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Josh Allen's in the suite with Brandon Bean and some other Bills players. Apparently, he was chugging a beer. They showed it on Jumbotron. Yep. We didn't see it on television.
Yep.
But he's wearing a Sabres 50th anniversary jersey.
Number 17.
Number 17.
Mm-hmm.
What's on the back? Is it Allen? Is it Sobotka? Is it blank? And if it's Allen, is it a jersey foul? It's a jersey foul. We say fans putting their name on the back of a jersey. Is it a jersey foul if an athlete in the city has his name on that jersey?
There's always one exception to the jersey rule when it comes to your own name.
Okay.
If the team gave it to you.
Okay. So Thurman Thomas gets a 34.
Exactly.
Okay.
If the team gives it to you, you can put your own name on it.
Because it's probably says Allen on the back, right?
Listen, the bigger jersey foul would be Sobotka. That would be
there's no way he had Sobotka on that.
That's the funnest, right? Most fun part of this question is
I wanted him to turn around.
What do you think that says?
Or is it just no name? Just 17 with no name.
What a curveball it would be if he turned around and it was a Sobotka jersey.
And he points to it with both fingers, like, look at me, I'm wearing Sobotka's jersey.
That would be more shocking than Ted Nolan returning for a third stint with the Sabres. Josh Allen wearing the Sobotka jersey.
Josh Allen showing his support for Vladimir Sobotka amidst the fans' outrage. I'm just assuming it said Allen on the back. We did not see the back of his jersey.
It's a bye week, so he clearly got the chug of beer in for the bye week.
Yeah.
You know,
he was with the GM. I guess he was okay, right? Is Bean telling him, don't chug the beer, we're on TV. You're on the Jumbotron.
No, it's the bye week.
Okay.
And it goes over well. He kind of half-chugged or chugged a beer?
I don't know.
At the Micah Hyde softball game.
Oh, the softball. He chugged, right?
That was off-season.
He chugged a can, I think, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice to see some of the Bills at the game enjoying the atmosphere at the arena last night.
So a thing on the Sabres, here's a tweet from Paul. Paul writes in, looking long-term beyond this season, free agents Zach Bogosian and Marco Scandella are gone. John Gilmore and Montour are RFA. Is there enough talent to replace the minutes that Risto is playing? Because we've been pointing out, Ristolainen played 25 minutes last night. The answer is, they have enough talent to replace those minutes now.
Oh, sure.
That's the big question. Why is he still playing 25 minutes? And then the second part that I wanted to get to is, will Bogosian crack the lineup?
How?
Who comes out for Zach Bogosian?
We know Montour is going to go right in the lineup.
We think.
He's got to.
I would think he does.
I'm sitting here wondering, when Pilot's healthy,
who comes out?
How does he go in the lineup, right? Bogosian? Like, he's the third guy on this list.
Darlene can't come out.
Nope. Miller's not coming
Colin
out.
Colin Miller cannot come out.
Miller, who Jokihara's playing well enough.
He can't come out.
Yeah. So Scandella, who's not playing badly.
Scandella's playing with Jokiharu, and that's your top group right now.
And McCabe's probably not coming out, unless McCabe gets injured. But McCabe's not coming out.
Yeah.
I guess.
So,
this is where the GM tells you it's great to have competition.
Somebody's got to get traded when they get healthy. And again, Bogosian is a guy that I do think is important to their room, and he's got some credibility in there, and I just don't know who comes out for Zach Bogosian.
Bogosian's in the final year?
Yes.
Is there a team that it's early for trade deadline stuff, obviously, but maybe there's a team that wants to pick up a veteran defenseman in the final year of his contract.
Ooh, for $5 million,
he's always hurt?
He's
the third guy on the list. How do you get him in the lineup if you're still putting in... This is assuming Pilot doesn't stay in Rochester. Do they tell Pilot to stay and play down there?
This all comes down to whether or not they put Jokiharu down in Rochester because of development.
They could, he doesn't have to go through waivers.
But it would be almost unforgivable. He's helping them win.
And he's exactly the type of defenseman they want in terms of his offensive ability, his skating, his puck carrying. He made some nice plays last night on one of the goals. I don't remember which one. I apologize. But Yokiharu did a nice job pinching at the blue line and basically, you know, checked the Canadiens player, kept the puck in the zone. Maybe Skinner dug it out. I forget which one it was. Anyway, I like what I've seen from Yokiharu. And Montour's going to play. To me, the Bogosian is no better than second on that list of guys that aren't playing right now. He would be second if they think Pilot can just stay in Rochester and play every day for the Amerks.
We have two Sobotka Allen texts that are funny. One, Allen jerseys would outsell Sobotka jerseys. By the way,
and Allen Sabres jersey, you're saying.
And then one texter writes in, I'm reading it because it's funny. It's a funny line. Sobotka's a better passer. And it's funny. And we don't have to agree
with it. Can he hit the stretch pass?
We don't have to agree with it.
Sobotka on the deep pass,
you know,
is more effective.
A little snark on the line.
Uh-huh.
You see, I snark cannoned last night. Fired off a big cannon. Big snark cannon. Felt good.
I'm trying to think which one it was.
When would he get back in the saddle?
Okay.
About Jack's body language.
Oh, yeah, I did.
When
see,
he went
yeah,
end
you put a little,
to end.
A little gif there or whatever.
Yeah, a
GIF,
cannon.
GIF, yeah.
How's his body language?
I didn't think his head was slumping or anything. I guess he was okay. The end-to-end was a thing of beauty.
It was. I hope the body language thing doesn't become a thing we actually really have to consider talking about. Because it's just, to me, it's one of those things that an athlete can't win. Ryan O'Reilly was, he took too much blame, right? You want a guy to have accountability. Yep. Wow, I like that he's really upset. Hey, man, you're too upset.
Yeah.
Right? Jack Eichel. Boy, I want him to be mad, but I don't want him to be too mad. I want him to be happy, but I don't want him to be too happy. Yeah, it's just these guys can never please everyone. And that's just what this gets to for me. If Jack Eichel misses an open scoring chance and is upset about it at the end of a game and slams his stick against the, you know, the goalpost, hey, that's your captain. You can't be doing that. Yeah, okay. If all he did was give you milquetoast quotes and never say anything, the criticism would be, I don't think he cares.
Right.
So, I mean, I get the criticism on the tiniest level, but I just don't think it should be a thing.
Yeah, the hang your head thing is, you know, with the emotional reactions, depends on how each fan looks at it. Because if he misses a golden opportunity and slams his stick, someone will call up and say, I want to see that fire. I want to see
exactly.
him angry about
like
missing.
You can't,
another guy would say,
you
got to control your emotions. You can't play on an emotional roller coaster. You've got to keep it in check. So it depends on how each person views those things. The lower your head thing is a little bit different. I think most people would say, shake it off. I don't want to see my captain hanging his head like that.
Did you see Allen's body language against the, was it the Titans or the Patriots? You know, he's on the bench slumped over. He's not happy. Is that body language? Do I have to worry about that? Or do I just think he's a professional athlete? He'll be fine.
Yeah.
Get out there, get your good results, and move along. I mean, that's not to say there's not any sort of mental coaching that can go into it, but I think it's a bit overblown this early on, at least.
David says the defenseman, not worried about it. The chances no current top six gets injured is slim. Loves the depth they have on defense with the guys that are out right now and having the problem of who comes out of the lineup. 803-0550 to join us. Sabres 3-0-1 after the overtime win over Montreal last night. We want to get your reactions to the game. Whatever else you'd like to talk about, that's fine too. Program reminder. Instigator's coming up today in studio. So we're going to neaten up the studio, make sure everything's put away nicely, and don't spill coffee because Craig and Andrew will be here today and tomorrow from 10 to noon. And No One Bills Live tomorrow or today or tomorrow with Murph and Tasker. It's going to be the boys DiBiase. Joe and Lou DiBiase will be on from noon to 3 with their version of One Bills Live. Talking Bills football with you and more today coming up on WGR. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we might have a roar before horn candidate from last night. One of my favorite parts of hockey season, the roar before the horn. Texter wrote in about that. We'll play the highlight when we get back.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Darlene, Eichel. Eichel into the circle. Score! Jack Eichel ripped that one home, and Buffalo another power play goal at a 2-2 game.
Good solid roar before the horn there. That's a ping roar horn. Can I get the game winner? Can I request the game winner, the Johansson goal? Johansson? Yojo. We'll call him Yojo.
Yojo.
I want to hear the roar before the horn on the game winner.
Yojo
if that
with
was
the mojo?
A solid roar before the horn.
That's knocked down. Rebound.
No, not as good. Right? Not as good. I need to hear 10,000 people pronounce the ye of the yeah. And that's the difference between a really good roar before horn and not.
The iron is funny.
The iron helps.
Because especially if you're listening on the radio, if you're watching it on TV, you can see the video, obviously. But if you're listening on the radio and you hear iron, in that split second, you're thinking, is it going in or did it just hit the post and go out? Like the Sabres hit some posts. Did Eichel, I think, hit two posts maybe on the same shift at some point? And that's what I always love. When you're listening to the Sabre game on the radio and you hear iron, you're just praying in that split second. Fan reaction. Iron, roar. Goal call from Rick or Dan, whatever. The iron is always interesting on the radio. Like I said, on TV, not as big a deal. Eichel had two amazing goals last night. Apparently, which one of them? One of them was the top 10 on SportsCenter. I assume it was the rush up
ice.
Had
to be the three, the one on three.
Yeah. I mean, he just blew by a guy at the blue line. That was a it was a little bit of McDavid stuff, like curl in your own end, get the puck, curl around the circle, go right up the middle of the ice, blow by a guy at the blue line with a stick fake or with a little stick handle, I should
Tatar.
Say.
It was Thomas Tatar.
It was Tatar, thank you. And then gain the zone, have both defensemen back in, give you room, and fire the puck away. And there was a third player up there, too. A forward was up there. It was a one-on-three. And he has just a little bit of room, and he decides, yeah, I'm going to shoot. It was just one of those magical nights for Jack, who had 4 points, 2 goals, 8 shots. And as you pointed out, he's 22 years old, and he's under a long-term contract, so he's not going anywhere.
22.
He's 22.
Sometimes you have to kind of shake yourself and remember that, 22. Right? Like that he's 22.
Yeah. And he said he wanted to shoot more this season.
He's younger than Josh Allen. Josh Allen's 23.
23.
I mean, that's the timelines of the sport.
Sure, you're coming out. He's playing in the pros 1 year.
But
after
think about
BU.
How wild that is. That yeah. You know the quarterback we think of as this really young kid. He's 23.
He's older than the
and the captain of the hockey team is entering his fifth.
Fourth? Oh my God, this is terrible.
Fifth
year.
Two Bylsma, two Housley.
Yeah,
this is his fifth year, and he's 22.
Yeah. And he's really good.
Yeah.
And he, you know, when he can take over a game. Which is, and when he does, like I said, it is worth the price of admission. But it was beyond him last night. Power play looks fantastic so far this season. Skinner is scoring, even though he doesn't have Eichel with him all the time. Johansson has been a very good offensive pickup. And in fact, I just put up a web poll, vote at WGR550.com. Which offseason pickup do you like the most right now? I don't remember what the order it was. It was Johansson, Miller, Jokiharu, VC. And then I thought, I actually put in at the very end,
you can't
Ralph
vote.
Kruger.
Okay, all right. I was going to say, you can't vote for VC.
No, nobody. I put him last. So then I thought, should it just be players? Because I feel fans right now are pretty happy with, you know, with Kruger. I mean, they're 3-0-1. They're scoring goals. They look more organized in their own end. So I thought I'd put the coach in because I think that's another key offseason pickup. Right? We talked about how I think... It sure looked like Botcher was putting a lot of eggs in the new coach will make a big difference basket. So I threw that in there as well. You can vote at WGR550.com. You can call us at 803-0550 and let us know as well. We are talking about the Sabres win over the Canadiens last night. We want to hear from you. Phone lines are open. If you have anything else you want to get into, it's a quiet week for the Bills with the bye week, but we can always talk football with you and whatever else you want to discuss. So grab a line and join us, and we'll have Paul at 8 o'clock this morning, Adam Kimmelman from NHL.com at 9, and your fantasy football fix. We'll cover that for you at 9:30 with Scott Pianowski on WGR.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.